child soldiers and how best to deal with them, and Shared Services Canada's Shoddy IT Services gets under the collar of the RCMP's commissioner. That's what we'll be reporting on today on the Vanguard podcast. But first, let's hear it from Marcellus Acdeo, managing editor of Vanguard, and his update on Vanguard's recently concluded Horizon 2025 Technologies of the Future event. Last week, some 150 executives and representatives of the defense industry, as well as government officials and top military officers, gathered in Ottawa for Vanguard's latest forum on shipbuilding technology, that's the Horizon 2025 Technologies of the Future. And here to tell us more about it is Marcelo Sagdeo, who just got back from Ottawa. Welcome, Marcelo.
Thanks, Nestor. It's great to be back.
Marcelo, what's Horizon 2025 all about?
Well, in a nutshell, it's about technologies that are emerging currently and what we can expect to see in the next 10 years within the marine industry. So, for those who are not aware about this event, it is an event that Vanguard produces, and we have just completed our third annual Shipbuilding Technology Forum. The focus has always been on emerging technologies and the capabilities within the shipbuilding industry that we have available here in Canada and also that can be used locally as well as internationally. So Vanguard, in effect, is like a platform or a hub that brings industry, the government, and the military together so as to share lessons and to learn about new technologies so that this can enhance the industry.
Tell us some of the highlights of the event. What stood out for you?
Well, for me, being involved in defense and IT sectors, I've always been intrigued by new technology. One of the things that stood out to me is the luncheon keynote was given by Jeffrey Hutchinson, and he's the deputy commissioner of the Canadian Coast Guard. Well, as you know, within a few days, he'll be the commissioner of the Canadian Coast Guard. And he was talking about the fleet of the future and how that is changing with innovation. And one of the things that he pointed out was, in the future, we could have drones that can do search and rescue. So you don't need to have a fixed-wing SAR plane to go out there and send supplies or drop supplies or rescue someone out there. So the way he described it was, by finding that location where that person is, you can just send a drone out. The drone could just drop the supplies, or if you need a boat or anything else, to complete that rescue mission. So I find that to be really, really interesting. Another thing that was discussed was 3D printing. As you know, 3D printing has been around for a little while now and has been used widely in other industries. But when it comes to shipbuilding and the marine sector, it is now slowly getting into that space. And what they talk about was, I remember there was this presentation given by Gary Warren from J.D. Irving. And he said there was a part that one of his clients needed. It was in need of repair, actually. And this part is like maybe decades old. And there is no manufacturing facility right now that can make a new part to replace that part. So they had this problem to deal with. And what they did was to use 3D printing to reproduce that part. And you know what? It worked great for them. And he was, of course, happy, and his client was happy. So the other aspect, too, that was discussed was cold spray. Now, cold spray is like taking a ball of snow and then throwing it to the wall. But you have to throw it at such a fast pace that it would stick to the wall. So they use, of course, machinery and technology to spray surfaces, parts, anything that you need to have repaired, You can just spray it with cold spray, and of course that will be able to repair that part that you can use. So these are the technologies that really stood out to me, and these technologies are slowly creeping their way into the marine industry.
So drones rescuing people in distress, 3D printing, and cold spray. What do you think did attendees take home from Horizon 2025?
Well, for industry, it is, I would say, the need to innovate faster, to bring technology that is used in other sectors and to scale it up so that it can fit ships. As you know, ships are huge, and 3D printing is only for small projects or for smaller things. So to use 3D printing in ships, it is super expensive. But with more robots now coming into play and having longer robotic arms, you can do a lot more. So I would say innovate faster. And for government and military, it is about keeping emerging technology in the discussion when looking at future needs.
Yes, well, what can our readers and the defense industry look forward to in the near future?
It's funny that you ask, Nestor. Actually, I was speaking to Terry Pavlik, the editor-in-chief of Vanguard, just before the event, and she was telling me the plan is that we are going to start looking at putting together an outline for the 2018 event for the shipbuilding. Actually, the date was also announced at the event at the end, at the conclusion, when Terry announced that March the 1st, 2018 will be the next shipbuilding event. Also, we have the C4ISR and Beyond event that is coming up early in 2018 as well. Vanguard is also partnering with ICEA Canada, that's the International Cost Estimating and Analysis Association, for their third annual training and development workshop. This workshop is a two-day event that will take place in Ottawa at the Westin Hotel on May the 1st and the 2nd. So this is an opportunity for professionals from government, from industry, as well as from the various academic communities to come together to talk about cost estimating and to interact and, of course, exchange views. For those who are interested in learning more about this, they can visit our website, vanguardcanada.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Marcelo. In many conflict zones around the world, children under the age of 15 are conscripted or forcibly recruited to participate actively in armed hostilities. Human Rights Watch reports that it estimates there are more than 300,000 child soldiers involved in conflicts around the world, and that 40% of armies, militias, gangs, terrorist organizations, and resistance forces use children. Furthermore, an estimated 250 million children live in countries and areas affected by armed conflict. Some children have permanent disabilities as a result of landmines and other explosive devices, while much more suffer psychological trauma. The Canadian Armed Forces realizes that Canadian soldiers, in all likelihood, will encounter child soldiers in their missions overseas. So the CAF last week took an unprecedented move of coming up with a doctrine that addresses the possibility of Canadian troops encountering child soldiers in their overseas missions. This is the very first time in the Canadian military history that such a document specifically directing the conduct of officers and personnel regarding child soldiers was ever written. The Canadian Armed Forces Joint Doctrine Note 2017-01, Child Soldier, or JDN for short, supports the United Nations Security Council's Resolution 1261. That UN resolution urges parties to armed conflicts to abide by concrete commitments made to ensure the protection of children in situations of armed conflict. JDN was developed following discussions with Senator and former CAF General Romeo Dallaire on his direct experiences with child soldiers. This doctrine is very important Because with the growing use of child soldiers around the world, Canadian soldiers are bound to encounter them someday in one of their military missions overseas. There's no clear direction on how enlisted personnel and officers should act in such a situation. There are many scenarios that come to mind which could spell harm for these children caught in the midst of armed conflict. And as well, there are potential negative impacts to the CAP's missions overseas. JDN includes guidance for planning and execution of operations, including specialized pre-deployment training. For example, the doctrine instructs on how Canadian troops should handle child soldiers that are taken prisoners. The doctrine says child soldiers should be treated differently from adult combatants. It says there should be a greater focus on rehabilitation and that they should be rapidly separated from adult fighters and handed over to an appropriate mandated civilian process. Canadian commanders are expected to use the JDN as a baseline guidance for their pre-deployment training, operational and mission-specific considerations, and post-deployment follow-up for personnel. The Mounties have just about had it with the IT services provided by Shared Services Canada. The SSC was originally created to maintain and improve government IT services and generate savings and improve IT security. SSC began its task in 2013 and was expected to complete transformation of government IT shared services by 2020. But in a memo to Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale, RCMP Commissioner Bob Paulson said that the SSC's performance leaves much to be desired. Paulson reported that the RCMP estimates critical IT failures have grown by 129% since SSC took over its IT support for the federal government. Among the incidents he highlighted was an 11-hour computer outage on January 18th. This resulted in knocking out every RCMP officer's BlackBerry smartphone. The dispatch of officers was impacted, and the RCMP, as well as 240 other police forces, were prevented from accessing the Canadian Police Information Center database. Furthermore, in 2016, the RCMP's Manager of Operational Communications Center wrote a report which detailed the failures of the system and warned how they jeopardize police work and safety of officers and the public. In her email to the SSC, Lois Carr complained about the high failure rate of replacement telephone sets for 911 dispatchers. The RCMP had requested for the telephone sets in 2014, but when they arrived, the units were faulty and appeared to be refurbished equipment. The RCMP also said they had repeated email outages, including one during the official visit to Ottawa of then United States Vice President Joe Biden. About 800 Mounties did not have access to their email during the event. Well, Shared Services Canada and the RCMP are working closely to provide 24/7 support and services to ensure secure and efficient RCMP operations, according to the Office of the Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness. We certainly hope so, because it's essential that the SCC resolve its IT services challenges. In any organization that relies on technology, availability and reliability are critical. But for other organizations, such as those in the healthcare sector or any first responder unit, availability and reliability can be a life and death matter. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much again for listening in on our show. This is your host, Nestor Aureliano, saying see you again next week on the Vanguard Podcast.